I'm so humbled today. I've had about five of you come up to me and say, "You look so nice today," which made me stop and think, the other 51 weeks a year, I didn't look so good. Not so nice.
I don't see it, but.
Said the blind man. Now, one of the most vital prayers a believer can pray is simply this. One of the most vital prayers you will ever pray is simply this. Lord, fill me with spiritual wisdom. Lord, fill me with spiritual wisdom. Today we need desperately men and women of God who have discernment and can discern what it is God's doing in our world, in your family, and in life. We need discernment, okay? What we need today is what Scripture calls this. The prophet said, "Lord, fill me with fresh oil." And what I see today with Christians is there's a lot of believers today who have sprung a leak. We're going to look at one today. We're going to look at King Rehoboam today. King Rehoboam was Solomon's kid. The next 3 weeks, we're going to look at Elijah, the prophet, and the faith walk that we learned with Elijah. I'm reading on him right now. This is the most interesting stuff. You know, how would you like to go 3.5 years where birds came and brought you meat and bread twice a day? You with me? Thank you. After Rehoboam's position as king was established and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. Because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the 5th year of King Rehoboam. Look at the number of people he came up with. With 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and innumerable troops from all those hard names that came with him from Egypt. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then the prophet, I think you say this, Shemaiah, came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak. And he said unto them, "This is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak." The leaders of Israel and the kings humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is just," meaning the judgment you're bringing on us today is what? It's earned. It's just. When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. "Since they've humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. They will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of the other lands." When Shishak, the king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem, he carried off all the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the treasures in the royal palace. In other words, here's Solomon, the richest guy that ever lived. Solomon had it all. He had, every time Solomon would walk into the room, they would hold up solid gold shields. They were probably about that big, and they would hold it up. Shishak did what? He took everything. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance of the royal palace. Whenever the king went into the Lord's temple, the guards met with him bearing the shields, and afterwards they returned to him to the guard room. Because Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned from him, and he was not totally destroyed. Indeed, there was some good in Judah. Verse 13, King Rehoboam established himself firmly in Jerusalem and continued as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. The city of the Lord had chosen out the tribes of Israel to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Amorite. And then here's what it says about him. Yeah, that too. And he did evil because he set not his heart to seek the Lord. That's going to be real key here in a minute. And he did evil because he set not his heart to seek the Lord. Get a picture of this now. In 1912, the unthinkable happened. A ship was made that could not sink, but the HMS Titanic went down. How in the world did that happen? This was a ship that couldn't sink, but it sank. Was it the icebergs are stronger than steel? Was it incompetence on the part of leadership? Or watch this, was it just simply foolish pride? But the ship went down. The nation, founded on biblical principles, men seeking after God, today is not even considered a Christian nation. How in the world did that happen? We've gotten so divided in politics that here's a nation that's been really blessed is suffering inwardly. How in the world did that happen? The church, set apart by God, for God, one time the center of life, the heart of the community. The church not only influenced the community, it was the community. And churches' calendars would come up, and people would set aside everything they were doing, because when revival came, everything shut down so people could come and seek God. No longer is that the case. How in the world did that happen? Schools, a place of learning and teaching and discipline where respect was demanded and given. In the 50s, we were told of schools where you could not pray, you could not speak of God, and we called them communists. How in the world did this happen? Because schools are no longer a safe place of learning. They're no longer even a place of security. How in the world did this happen? The home, once a place of security and faith where we met together and prayed. And watch this. We did something so unique together as a family. We ate together. But today, we're all drawn in so many different directions. How'd that happen? Gilligan's Island. It was a 3-hour tour. Where did they get all those clothes? How in the world did that happen? Today we look at a king, not just any king. Here's the son of Solomon, the son of the wisest man, richest man, who was the grandchild of David. Here is the grandchild of the man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. He had heritage. He had all he needed. But here's what it was said about him. And he did evil because he set not his heart to seek the Lord. And he did evil. Families and marriages failing, churches and ministers failing, schools failing, nation failing. Revival is non-existent in the church today. There's no time for self-examination. There's no time for seeking the face of God. We try to appeal to the lost because they want them to come in here and we want them to be comfortable. How in the world did that happen? Well, the answer is right before us. And I think it's what we see in our nation today, what we see in our homes today, in our churches today, is simply this. Unless you set your hearts to seek the Lord, you will do evil. Unless you set your hearts to seek the Lord, you will do evil. As we look at this little mini-series on faith and walking with God by faith, the bottom line gets down to this. We have to understand what is God up to in our own lives, and what are we doing to seek the Lord with all our hearts? The promise is real today. Unless you set your heart to seek the Lord, you will do evil. That promise is just as good as I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's just as good to me as if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will heal their land. But the big word in there is if my people. Rehoboam was not as bad as some. He was better than others. He did evil in various ways. He didn't sit down and just design evil. So what was it? It simply was neglect. There's your first fill-in. I don't know about y'all, but every time I sin, it's not like I go out there and plant it. You know, it's not like I just go out there and say, hey, what could I do real wrong today? Whenever we get sideways with people and with God, it really gets down to this. We neglect to consecrate ourselves, and that's what he did. He did not consecrate himself. He neglected his people. He neglected God, and he didn't set his heart to seek the Lord. How'd that happen? Because as I'm studying this, it keeps reminding me is, how did the church get so far from God? How did we get so caught up in our materialism and our own world? How did we get so far from God? And you say, well, I'm not that far from God. You think not? You know, every time I think I'm close to God, somebody moved them. Every time I think I got my act together, all of a sudden, I just see how pitiful I can be unless I'm really focused. And what have we been teaching? Unless I am willing to come to God violently and violently separate myself from all the junky stuff that holds me back from God, then you know something? I'm just like Rehoboam. I'm not setting my heart to really seek the Lord. I'm seeking comfort. I'm seeking happiness. I'm seeking everything but except maybe what God wants me to seek. Yeah, the triangle. We're down here, God's up here. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. It's real simple, you know? Yeah, absolutely, Carl. Absolutely. So Rehoboam teaches us what will happen and what will happen to our own faith walk if we are not paying attention to what it means to go after God with all our vigor, with all our heart. It really gets down to this. And this is one of my Harryisms. Unless you're out of money or have cancer, you just assume God mind his own business and let us make our own decisions. Think about that. How's this happen? Well, I don't want this to be a bummer lesson as much as it needs to be a lesson of really understanding how do we avoid this? How do we stop and avoid this? Because let me share it with it this way. This is way more than sit down and read your Bible today. Because a lot of us sit down and read our Bibles today, and it's like going through the motions of reading something that we've already read 15 times, expecting that I just did my duty today because I read my Bible, then I get to get off into my world and figure out what I'm going to do today and how am I going to do it. Again, it's not that we're like out here choosing evil. It's not like we're choosing bad stuff. We're just neglecting to set our hearts to seek after God. So God has to send a Shishak into our life occasionally. How does this happen? First of all, he had stubborn beginnings. Instead of stopping and seeking God, he asked everyone else. Here's the story. He becomes king. He sets himself up. And then he says this. He goes to the young guys. Or the old guys. He goes, the old guys, tell me, how should I rule this kingdom? And they said, love these people, love them with all your heart, and they will serve you. Then he goes to the young guys. He goes, what do you guys think? No, your father beat them with whips, you beat them with scorpions. Let them know your pinky finger's bigger than your father's thigh. Beat the poo out of these guys until they know you're the king. He asked the old guys, he asked the young guys, he just never asked God. How many times do we make decisions in life, either big or little, and we stopped and we did not even ask God, is that okay? Reuben, I bought a $500 driver once, took it out and hit it, and I hit it really good. Really good. And at $500, you should hit it good. And as I put it back in the bag, that little voice in my head said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't recall you asking me if this was okay with me. And I know it sounded like Lynette, but I really think it was God. I put the head cover back on that driver, I went back to Brian Baker, and I said, I need to bring it back. Why? Because I was doing something that I wanted. Now, that's not always bad. But what I'm saying is, are we so in tune with God that with even little things, like one time she brought a comforter home. You know, one of those white ones that are this thick? where you're smothering in there because you can't breathe. And she goes, do you like it? And I said to her, you did not set your heart to seek the Lord. No, this was a nay-nay, nay-nay. And so she brought another comforter home. She goes, do you like this one? I said, yes, I like this. And she goes, good, I like this even better. It costs more. Now, in seeking, here's your fill-in, in seeking approval or allowing pride to lead him instead of wisdom, he missed the walk of faith with God. So, let me say this. The high office of being a Christian carries with it high responsibility. High responsibility. Praying a prayer and saying Jesus lives in my heart is not enough to what it means to really walk with God the way God intended us to walk with him. A lot of people pray a prayer and that's it. I'm in heaven and they what? They stop. Or watch this. We've been at this 35 years and we get what? Content. Or watch this. We're a new believer and if I read my utmost for its highest every day, I have fulfilled my journey. No, nice devotional, but it's not necessarily getting in and hearing what God has to say to us today. What is God up to today? There are times when stubbornness kicks into our life, and instead of having this real encounter to God, we instead set our heart seeking God. We seek our own agenda instead of God's agenda. And watch this. Let's get honest here this morning. We all have agendas. We all have agendas. And not all of them are bad. Not all of them are bad. Not all of them are good. But we all have agendas on what it is we think we need to be doing. So, I put this in here. He'd be almost like a little two-year-old. I really didn't mean to do that. Lord, Shishak's at the door. Lord, I didn't really mean this. I didn't mean to do this. You see, God, it's not my fault. My father never trained me on how to walk with God by faith. He was too busy with his 700 wives and 290 concubines and porcupines. He didn't have time. And Solomon did not take time to even train up his own child on how to hear from God. Lord, it's not my fault. Now, if you were teenagers, I'd be saying this to you. Quit blaming your parents. It isn't your parents' fault because you made bad choices. It's not their fault. You have choices, and we all have them. God has given us wisdom, but he never intended us to live apart from God, even with our wisdom. Again, what I think is, and I've been teaching this for I don't know how many years, we live so much by what we think and feel that we really are not asking God, what does he think and feel? I pray before this is all over with that you will understand. This is an urgent time in our nation. If the wrong people get in office, you're gonna cease to know our nation the way we grew up in it. It's not going to look the same. And I'm going to tell you this. If it goes that way, you're going to see a tremendous assault against the church. So we better learn right now how to set our hearts to seek the Lord. How to pray. Because if we don't, you know something? Our neglect. And the world's gotten the way it is today because somewhere along the way, I think the church neglected doing the things the church should have been doing from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. We're so busy trying to build our kingdoms, we forgot to train people on how to be like Christ.
Heard a while ago you said about it, being a Christian carries a lot of responsibility. If you don't believe that, just do something wrong around your coworkers. And if they know you're a Christian, it's like, you know, they will point that out. Whether it's right or wrong, that, you know, it carries a great responsibility.
Yeah, see, that's one of the joys of being a one-man show in your office. You don't have to worry about it. And that's why I avoid the mirror. You know, don't go by the mirror.
But the same holds for family members that are not believers. They wait for you to mess up.
Yeah. Especially teenage kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
All day, every day.
They would love to bring your past up.
You know it.
You know, they want to bring your past up.
You know, we're in Life Group with along those lines, and it has haunted me that if you have any desire to witness to anybody that you think is lost in your world, whether it's family members or coworkers or just neighbors, you have to be way ahead of the game in your behavior, in your speech, in your action, because you've got to earn the right. And I've neglected lots of times thinking.
And people, you've neglected people.
But I think this is a challenge and an encouragement at the same time to get in the game. I mean, we ask the Lord to save people, but I think we have to be careful and back up and say, okay, before He's saved, am I going to participate? And that means I've got to be watching what I say, watching what I act, watching my attitude, watching what I...
Yeah, you got to be so prepared that when all hell breaks loose, it doesn't shock you. It doesn't shock you.
It's not about how we act. It's about what we are.
Yes.
See, there's a significant difference there. We can't just go, oh, I'm in front of them and I'm going to act right. It's they have right.
Thank you. I don't have to ring that up now. And let me.
We have to be right.
I forgot the point.
We like Rehoboam are not wicked or evil.
Solomon's neglect of his son influenced Rehoboam more than his wisdom did.
Now back up one. Back up instead of setting
up. Rehoboam's not wicked or evil. He was just independent. Yeah, I slipped that one. He was just independent. Let me get back on this. Okay. What we need today is not more words about God, but someone who's going to practice Christ in his home and in the world. What we need today is people who are saying, you know what? I'm going to learn how to walk so close to God that when I walk into heaven, I don't have to make a lot of changes. Now, again, I want to throw this out, and this is another Harryism. Okay? Don't get so spiritually spooky that people don't want to be around you. Just be what you are. But be what you are. In other words, be what you are for God. Remember what I said a couple weeks ago? You know, Harry, yes, Lord, do something that's best for me today, Harry. Do what's best for me today, Harry, not what's best for you. Do what's best for me today. And that phrase just haunts me. I got that out of Secondhand Lions on the bridge where the little kid said, Mom, for the first time, do what's best for me, Mom. And I could hear God in my voice saying, Harry, do what's best for me today. You know, make the right choices for me today. Now, let me take it further. Rehoboam had self-righteousness and self-confidence instead of self-examination. He should have been looking at himself. Rehoboam lacked discernment, discretion, and he lacked delighting himself in the Lord. And watch this. It all came crashing down. It all came crashing down. I think we got a little hint this week of something, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. In the end, no one from the West comes to help Israel. In Scripture, no one, they come from the North, they come from the East, they come from all. There's no one coming from the West to help Israel. We got a little taste of that this week. What would happen to America if the stock market crashes and someone turns off your electricity?
Better rice and beans.
Yeah, you better learn how to eat rice and beans. That's right. Fire.
Oh, man, it's been a few years since I was a Girl Scout.
Been a few years since you cooked. Now, how do you want your chicken sandwich tonight, honey? Rehoboam was lacking steadfastness. It says this, and Rehoboam positioned himself and established himself as king, okay, but he abandoned the law of the Lord. He was not steadfast in his relationship with God. We do the same thing, don't we, at times? We want to fling away our spiritual support because we think we can handle what we're doing in life. Anybody else like that? You know, I'm really preaching to me today. Are you all getting in on my quiet time right now? I believe we do this four ways. We relax our hold on our early convictions as believers and quit seeking because we've gotten content. Your fill-in should have been examination, discernment, steadfastness, spiritual. We relax our hold on our early convictions, and we quit seeking God, and we've become content. Instead of having a heart that wants to really grow with God, we're content with the fact that I did this much today. That's enough. That's enough. We're content. Number two, we quit trusting God alone for our daily needs. My little 401k this week became a littler 401k. A littler one. I remember 2008 when it really went down again? I went to Lynette that day and I said, okay, here's the deal. We lost half of our retirement today. She goes, okay, what's that mean? We only have 3 months to live on now instead of six. So when some, oh, my 401k, not a problem. It's only, you know, what, 40 weeks instead of 52 weeks? Yeah, not a problem. You say, how are you going to live later on? I don't know. I just assume if it worked all these years for 44 years, it'll work later. But I do save. You know, I'm not stupid. But I know this, that can't be the center of my life. We abandon our faith and our godly wisdom we have learned. Reality is replaced with feelings, and reason goes out the window because all of a sudden, again, the circumstances of life are dictating my whole life. We forgot God is needed not just for times of trouble, but God is needed for today and tomorrow. I think we've forgotten that. We certainly have forgotten it in our nation. Okay, so how do you stay steadfast? How do we stay steadfast? We need a new sense of urgency. This week, when the market was going down 4,000 points, did any of you in here feel a need of urgency on what should I do next? Yeah, this is the time to buy. Why, it's cheap, you know? All you need is what? What's that stuff? Money, yeah, all you need is money, you know? Like, it's all these people, it's like during the Great Depression. All the people who made money were the guys who sat on the sideline and they poured the money back into the market. But the same principle stays the same. You know, rich people jump out of just bigger windows. But they're still jumping out of windows. Okay? Life is short. We know time's coming to an end. We're on assignment from God to become something we could not become without Him. Our focus has got to be on who God is. Here's your fill-in. The soundness of our faith might need some tuning up. Am I really seeking and trusting? Oh, here's my favorite. Secret sins must be confessed and forsaken. We must set our hearts not only to seek to God, but we've got to come and abandon what's in our minds and hearts that draws us away from God. We must violently break away from the junky stuff in our life that we allow holding us hostage. We allow it to hold us hostage. Okay? Are you okay?
Yes.
Either you're having a heart attack or you're passing gas. I wasn't sure which one it was. Watch this. Rehoboam had it. See, if I said that, I'd get a lecture. Now, Rehoboam had a spirit of unfaithfulness. He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. But it made me stop and say this. Watch this. He was unfaithful. Made me stop and say this. I wonder, maybe, did he not know how to be faithful? Was he taught how to be faithful? With your own children, are you spending all your time dealing with their behavior or their hearts? Which? See, if all you do is deal with their behavior, when they turn 18 and don't have to obey anymore and they walk out the door, they won't. See, Solomon neglected his kid. He gave himself and his wives and his nation his best, but he forgot his family, which makes me stop and say this. That's so true for us today. We give everyone else our best, but our family is neglected. You know, not you, but these people. Shame on Israel here. How come nobody stood up and cried foul? Yeah, there's no question he was the king. There's no question he was the king. And there was no question he did not handle being king or handle authority. Why didn't Israel shout out? They're afraid. They're afraid. Whatever happened, we know he lost his convictions about what God says. There's your filling, lost his convictions. I've got a real good ending here. Hang on, I know this is a bummer lesson. I told you last week, Lynette's really on me about posting on Facebook about politics. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I cannot sit back and just say, oh, I'm just going to be content and not say anything. No. No, sometimes you got to stand up and say what? No. No, this is wrong.
You don't have to share everything that comes down the pike because it's insightful.
I don't share everything that comes down the pike. I didn't criticize Dan's running for office.
That would be supporting somebody you know.
You don't know. You don't know. Selfish desires must be turned to a servant's heart. Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. Okay? Which makes me say this. There's three truths we need to learn today. Number one, the instability of earthly things. If all your security is coming from earthly things and you possess these things, you know, all the treasury things that Solomon had and that he passed on to Rehoboam became idols. I mean, how'd you like to be the king and you're walking in and you got 55, 60 guys holding up solid gold shields every time you walked in the room? Every time you walked in the room. Look at what I got. Here's number two. The ineptness of those who would be king. King Rehoboam was what? Inept. Number three. He really believed he was apt. I talked about, you know, I said that last week. Which reminds me of where we are today as a nation. The people who are leading us, the politicians who lead us, they're inept. And they think they're apt. I want to know how all these guys making $180,000 a year have become millionaires. How'd you do that? Did you catch the market at the right time? How'd you do that? He was inept. And here's how he showed it. He made brass shields. And every time he walked in, they held up the brass shields. And he tried to convince the people that brass was as good as gold. And then his arrogance was, all right, we're done. Take him and put him back in the treasury so no one steals our brass shields. By the way, you all know brass is not as good as gold. You know, if you could take your penny down to the gold place, I don't think you're going to get what you think. Rehoboam's hypocrisy was evident to God. Idols, poor choices, compromises, unteachable spirit, everything he should have been as a king, everything he should have been as a leader and example, he wasn't. And you know something? The sad part about this is that Rehoboam had to pay for some of Solomon's sin. Don't think your sin isn't affecting other people.
And David's sin also.
They passed it down. Final thoughts. If you want a ministry of gold, you have to experience the refiner's fire. If you want a ministry of gold, you have to experience the refiner's fire. They say, Jay, that you can take the refiner's gold and they heat it up so hot that everything that's not gold rises to the top, they skim it off. They say you can get gold so pure you can see a reflection of the refiner's face in the gold. But it has to go through the refiner's fire. And if you want to have gold, you've got to go through the refiner's fire till you come out shining like gold. Here's the next thing. Don't pretend brass is gold if really inside you're brass. I know. Don't pretend brass is gold. Don't keep outward appearances to gratify our own vanity. If you want a ministry of gold, you have to experience refiner's fire. Don't pretend brass is gold when you're brass inside.
Okay, but on the handout, you've got don't flash gold blank when the reality is your brass.
Don't flash gold when the reality is your brass. I just changed the words.
I think you meant outwardly.
Yeah, outwardly. Just put in any word you want there. Use your imagination here a little bit, will you?
What you're saying is don't
flash gold outwardly when you know deep down inside you're brass. That's what it means, okay?
Why didn't you just say so?
Don't keep... When you get home, I'm going to give your brass a tuning up. Now, don't keep outward appearances just to gratify your own vanity. Anyone in here vain? Anyone here vain? You think? If all you have is brass, give it to God. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. I taught you this whole lesson to get to this one point. I have been blessed. From 44 years ago, the people God surrounded me in my life were some of the godliest people you would ever want to meet in your life. I didn't get to where I am today, as stupid as I am, without these men pouring gold into my life. I would travel with Manly, and I said, what does it mean, go and buy gold? He said, why do you come to hear me? Because you're always saying something good. I'm learning. Oh, so you came to buy gold. Why did you all come here this morning? There's 80 of us in here. Why'd you come? Brother Harry, we've come to buy gold. Do you have any gold for us today? Manly Beasley, gold. Tom Eliff, gold. Michael Gott, Ron and Patricia Owens, the people God brought into our world, gold. Adrian Rogers, great man of God. We met him in an elevator. We had to go down 40 floors. You know what he did that 40 floors? He wanted to know about us. He wanted to know about our ministry. He didn't talk to me about having the biggest church in the country. He didn't talk to me about what a great man of God he was. He didn't try to just pour some spiritual wisdom into me 40 floors. No, he wanted to know what did we do for God and how did we do it. Remember how that flipped us out? Gold. 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 Brother Harry, brass. 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 And then in Isaiah it says this, when you bring your brass to me, I will make it shine like gold. And all I know every day is I'm trying to get my brass to shine like gold. But I don't lose sight of the fact of this. I'm just brass. I'm just brass. But listen, take your brass and bring it to God. and ask God, how is he going to let your brass shine like gold? There may be a little baby that somewhere down the road is going to remember there was this lady who cuddled with me when my mother couldn't. They're going to remember how God blessed your business and you've been able to pour life into ministry. All of you folks in here to come to counseling, that couple right there is the biggest giver to our ministry, and they give so you don't have to. Gold. But I know you two are brass. But God lets you shine like gold. I don't know what you did as a dad, but you got kids shining like gold, and you got some that look like brass. You with me? I don't care what you've been or what you've done. God wants you to shine like gold.
Harry, my daughter reminded me something that I used to teach them when I was coaching. I would tell them, do what I tell you to do out on the court. If it doesn't work, it's my fault. I'm not perfect, so maybe I make a mistake. The difference is what you're saying, we need to do the same thing with God's perspective, knowing that God knows it all. He knows already what the moves are. We just need to follow and do what he wants.
I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that this whole business, what we're talking about today, is not just about reading my Bible and going to church. It's about how am I going to allow the Son of God to live his life out through me every day so that people can see the gold that's available to them every day in their lives because of what God has done in our lives. That's what I'm saying today. That's what I'm saying. Amen? Father God, thanks for loving us today. Thank you what you're teaching us. You know, Lord, I'm glad that a long time ago people reminded me not to think too highly of myself. But God, I wouldn't change lives with anybody today. But God, I do know this, that you're more than capable of everyone in this room walking out of here today and allowing them to shine like gold, especially at home. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.